Welcome, everybody, and thanks for being with me this next hour. You are listening to Everyday Astrology with C.A. Brooks on Transcendental Tuesdays here on 1-2 Radio, where hopefully we are changing the way that you listen to the world. This is March 19th, 2024, and I do have a guest on the show today, one of the newest advisors on 1-2Listen.com. His name is James, and you will be hearing from him in just a few minutes. As way of announcements, really no announcements, I don't think, this week. I mean, there's some exciting stuff coming up, and we will talk about that for a few minutes. But if you'd like to join us in the Facebook chat room, that would be great. You can welcome James, or, you know, if you just have some comments that you want to make during the show. It is a private group, which just means that while we're interacting on Facebook, you know, it's not just out there in the world. But if you're not a member of that group, just go over to Facebook and ask to join 1-2 Radio. And our producer is Jay Varvel, and of course, he will be watching for you, and he'll let you in the door. So if you'd like to join the people that are already over there. Hey guys, thanks for coming, Leslie and Renee, and at least that's what I see right now. And you know me, guys, I try to be technically proficient, but it feels like it just changes all the time. And so I must tell you that I have a new computer, and I was messing with it last night trying to change the size of some things because I've got two really large screens, and for some reason a lot of times everything is just displaying on part of the screen. So I was messing with it, and what I noticed now this morning on Facebook, it's huge, and so it's only showing me like a couple comments at a time. And you know, so then I'm like, okay, don't mess with that right now, CA, but if I miss any of your comments, I'm sorry, but I'm going to try to stay onto that and refresh the page. I can't actually change the sizing while we're on the air today because, of course, I have to shut down the computer to make any changes take. But you guys, thank you. Thank you for being with me today, and thanks for being over there. And we will hear from James in just a few minutes. What I would like to do is at least open with some of the astrology that is going on this week. And of course, I always encourage you to subscribe to Mark's Power Peak, which is that online newsletter. You can call it a blog, whatever you want to call it. Sometimes I think we need to update our you know, talk. But anyway, with that online blog, you know, there are a number of people that write for it, lots of interesting articles. It's free. You can subscribe to it by going over to 1-2listen.com and just find the link for Mark's Power Peak. But the reason I really encourage you to read it or to subscribe so that you'll have it come to your mailbox, your email box every Saturday night, is because, of course, I write an article in which I tell you exactly where's the moon, what are the planets doing. So if you're interested in astrology, I want you to have all the details. And of course, listening to the show, I try to give you some dates. I try to give you an outlook. But if you go to the Power Peak, you're always going to have the actual dates and go, what day did she say Mars was going to go into Pisces? Or when did she say this was going to happen? You're going to see it right there in my article in the Power Peak, which is called The Week Ahead. So we're going to scoot through some of that stuff this morning, but you can always go back over there and get all the details. So of course, one of the big things happening this week, and it really is the highlight, it happens today, and actually it happens tonight because it's the spring equinox, which is the time when the sun enters Aries, which is the first sign of the zodiac. And this is important because it's not just a change for the sun, but it actually is the indication of moving into a whole new season, a new astrological quarter, and also symbolically, it's the beginning of the astrological year when the sun moves into Aries. So I always like to pay extra attention to that particular chart. And because literally, the moment the sun moves into Aries, if you think about it, it's kind of a chart for the next year. But certainly, it's a chart that we'll see unfolding in the next 3 months, you know, as the sun moves through this particular quarter. So I wanted to bring your attention to a couple of things that show up in that chart. And these are planetary interactions that are actually going to be perfect on Thursday, March 21st. And what I mean is, I'm talking about the sun making a connection to Pluto. Now, it's not quite perfect today, but as far as the chart goes, it's close enough. I mean, it's like within a couple of degrees, maybe 1 degree. So it's something that is certainly influencing it if we consider that a natal chart, but it won't be perfect until Thursday. So here again, I encourage you to just pay attention. You know, what's going on for you? What are the messages that you're hearing? What is the information that's coming to you? What are the interactions? And that sun, sextile Pluto, that's what's going on. The sun in Aries, sextile Pluto, it's a chance for self-improvement, healing, and regeneration. And it's a powerful energy. So I'm thinking people that are looking at something in their lives and going, you know what? I really want to turn this around. I am really, this is not working for me. Now, we almost always have something like that in our lives, but I want you to know that this 3 month period, because the sun, which resonates with our ego, is actually making this very harmonizing connection to Pluto, which is known for regeneration and transformation. This really is a chance when we may see some healing, when we may see something really get a boost in a way that we haven't seen it before. So if that's something you're interested in, you know, really take advantage of this energy, or at least watch it unfolding in your life. Now, the other thing that is going on is the planet Venus, which represents what we love. What do we attract into our lives? What do we find valuable and attractive? It's going to be sitting right next door to Saturn. We call it a conjunction. They're sharing the same astrological space. Now, this happens about once a year on average. But it's an important thing because any of you who have heard me, well, on the radio, but like if we've been talking about your charts, anybody who ever asks me about a relationship, you know, one of the first things I'm going to look at is what is going on with Saturn. And the reason is because Saturn is the planet of commitment. So when you see Saturn in connection with Venus, the planet of what we find valuable, you're talking about people either making or breaking commitments because they want their lives to start lining up more carefully, more closely with what they find valuable. So whether or not it's a relationship in your life with another person or with a pet, with a home, with a job, with lots of other things, we're looking deeper at those commitments and trying to figure out what we want. So this is a valuable time. If you're trying to make a decision about making a commitment in your life, wow, this week is just like off the charts in terms of Venus and Saturn being together. And then watch it unfold as we go through this particular quarter. Now, another thing going on this week that I want you to at least put in the back of your mind is that Mercury is going to go retrograde on the 1st of April. And that's not an April Fool's joke. It's going to go retrograde in Aries. But this week, it starts moving into the shadow. And what that means is whatever's going on, it started yesterday. So whatever's going on this week and next week, this is the area. These are the things. These are the interactions that we're going to come back to. These are the things that we're going to review. We're going to look at them again. We're going to take a closer look at them. So that's what the shadow is about. Even though it doesn't go retrograde until April 1st, we're going to come back to this week and next week and take a look at all the stuff that's going on and take another look at it. So just be aware that that's going on. Then the other thing, and kind of the last thing we'll talk about, is that Mars, the planet of action, is going to change this week. It's going to move into Pisces. Now, to me, that ball of fire that is all inspiration and aspiration, you know, rules Aries, that Mars, you know, it kind of gets in Pisces and whoosh, you know, it can create a lot of steam. But what it also means is that there's a lot of stuff going on underneath the surface in the next 6 weeks. Mars will be in Pisces until April 30th. And during that time, you might find that your motivations are very, very different. They're not as external, they're not as outward. There's a lot going on underneath the surface. Maybe it's more visionary, maybe it's more imaginative, more creative. Because in fact, Vincent van Gogh and Michelangelo both were born with Mars in Pisces. Now, of course, they're not the only ones, but it means your inspiration, where you're drawing your kind of motivation for life, is coming from Pisces, which is sensitivity. It may be that you're feeling more psychic than usual. Maybe you're developing your psychic abilities or really getting into your intuition. Maybe you're getting into something spiritual. You're wanting to make that a bigger part of your life. So just recognize this is very different. So if you don't see as much action going on, you know, in yourself or somebody else, don't think nothing's going on. It's just going on in a different realm. Okay. All right. Well, that's what's going on this week. And of course, once again, please check out Mark's Power Peak because you can get all the details. So now it's time to welcome James onto the show. And by way of introduction, you can, once again, you can go to 12listen.com and check out his bio. But I wanted to tell you a few things about him. He is an intuitive guide and counselor. He describes his life purpose as empowering people in creating what they really love in life through the process of creative development. So I want him to talk to us about what that is, because in fact, in his bio, he has that capitalized. So I'd like to know, it's not just putting those two words together, it's something very specific in his mind about how he uses that. He's got a very interesting background that, like many of the advisors that you'll find on One to Listen, just lots of things that we've been involved in over the years. He, you know, put in his resume, Reiki, Tarot, yoga, neuro-linguistic programming, which is always very interesting, sales, music, and intuitive coaching. So welcome, James. Thank you so much for joining 12listen.com and for being on the radio today.
Hey, CA. Thank you for that big introduction. And hello to everybody in the chats here at One to Nation. It's awesome to be here.
Yeah, well, you know, where would you like to start today? I want the audience to really get to know you, or, you know, for them to kind of come away with some tidbits about who you are and what you do and what you're contributing and that, and what they can expect if they call you.
Yeah, that's a great question. So I'd love to kind of just go wherever we go today and allow it to be pretty open and loose. And I'm sure we may get some questions in the chat. Uh-huh. But I can jump in, first of all, and just kind of define the creative development and what I call the creative orientation.
Yes, I'd like to hear about that.
Yeah, so these aren't terms necessarily that I invented, but they're really relevant to the work that I do as a coach and what I really want to be offering as an advisor with One to Listen. Really what it boils down to is what I call the creative orientation is an orientation for how we can live our lives. And sometimes we do it naturally, but a lot of times we normally are going to kind of miss it. If you think of it as there's really just kind of two ways ultimately that we're orienting in life, and I'm sure everybody can kind of relate to this. On one hand, if we're living our life from the vantage point or the perspective of our egoic identity, our ego is going to inform the way that we live our life, and we're going to tend to feel separate from life. We're going to feel more identified with our inner victim and our inner wounds, and that's all really normal. But we always have a choice to step into the creative orientation where we kind of start by taking responsibility for what we're creating and our behaviors and our actions, and then really just choose what is it that we want to create in our life. And that is the creative orientation. The process of understanding that and learning to do that, where it becomes more of a reflex, where we can stay more and more in the creative orientation, that process is what I call creative development. So I'd say that's kind of it in a nutshell.
Okay, great. And of course, I'm just kind of thinking of a number of things as you say that. So give us an example of how has that worked in your life or in somebody else's life that you can think of?
Yeah.
Can you compare the two things, like moving? I love what you said about personal responsibility.
Yeah.
Because whether or not I do it well myself, I just think that is such a goal for everybody. You know, we just don't ever get anywhere when we're always giving our power away and not taking responsibility.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's one of it's one of the core values that I've adopted. And I find that there's just a lot of freedom in it, honestly. And when if we wake up in the morning and just decide, okay, I want to have the best day today. I had many experiences with a shaman years ago who was just the sweetest guy from Peru. And he used to always remind me, no, it's like, today is not, oh, I hope you have a good day. It's like, no, like, let's assume that we're going to have the best day. And then from that, you know, if we orient ourselves that way, then anything that comes in, we can, we have the opportunity then create from it rather than being the victim of it.
Mm-hmm.
Tony Robbins loves to say, life happens for you, not to you. And I think that, you know, that's kind of pointing to what we're getting at. Is that you know, things are going to happen if we take responsibility for that, that we're creating all of it, including the crap, right? Then we can live our lives from a state of being able to apply our own inherent power, which is inherent and innate in all of us. So some examples would be. You know, if I allow something in my life to put me in a bad mood, let's say something simple, like I get somebody cuts me off in traffic while I'm on the way to, you know, a family gathering or a work or something like that. And that put me in a really bad mood because this person cut me off and, you know, how dare they? And, you know, I can really get into my head and get angry and get self-righteous about, you know, how I was in the right and they were in the wrong and whatever. Well, that's going to affect my energy and my mood so that when I show up wherever my destination is, that energy that I'm carrying into the room, into that space is going to be contagious. And it's also going to start to filter out how I perceive everything else that's coming at me. So if I show up and I'm in a really bad mood and I'm angry just because this one little thing set me off and somebody looks at me a certain way, I'm going to be, if I'm in that state, if I'm in my victim, identifying with my, you know, my wounded ego, I'm going to be much more likely to interpret that glance or something somebody says as maybe a personal attack or whatever. And I'm going to be much less creative in, you know, in that situation. And by creative, I just mean, what am I able to contribute? How am I showing up? What is the energy that I'm bringing into the room? And how is that empowering me? And how is it empowering the other people in the room? So that's kind of a, you know, just sort of a trivial example of it. But it apply to really anything that we do, because, you know,
little
choices that we make throughout the day and how we interpret what's happening. If we assume, you know, that it's coming at us from kind of a negative place, then we're going to be reacting rather than just responding creatively and saying, okay, that's an obstacle that's coming my way. I wasn't expecting that, didn't necessarily want it, but, you know, I can still get what I want today.
Mm-hmm. But now I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit. And I kind of promised you I wouldn't do that. But
that's all right. Bring it on.
This is what I'm thinking. I, you know, as much as we work with this, and I feel like I've worked with some of these ideas for decades, but then I'm in the moment and just boom, you know? So what do you actually do in the moment? I mean, that something happens that 99% of the population of the world would say, oh yeah, that shouldn't have happened. That person was rude. That person cut you off. That person did something bad to you. How do you stop that train?
Yeah.
The moment, you know, do you have tools that you use? Like, what do you do in the moment to stop yourself from getting on the train?
Yeah, great. That's a great question. So the truth of it is, you know, it's all about where is your attention going? Where is your focus going? At first, I mean, this still happens to me. You know, I'm not a perfect human, and I'm always working to, you know, just to get better and get stronger. But, you know, oftentimes this stuff comes up in reflection, right? So I might have an argument with somebody that I'm close to because in the moment I got really heated, and it's not until afterwards that I'm able to kind of, you know, reflect and calm down, and the adrenaline has subsided or whatever, and then say, okay, what did I do to contribute to that situation? And then kind of we start unpacking and we reverse engineer it. But the more that I can do that, and the more that you can do that, the more that it becomes reflexive. And the epiphany that we get to is that our thoughts and feelings they're not real in the sense that they really necessarily mean anything. They're real in the sense that we have them and that we feel them for sure. But, you know, from a psychology standpoint, our thoughts and our feelings are all informed by our subconscious beliefs about ourselves. And those beliefs we just made up, you know.
Right. So
the more that we can just start to pay attention, what happens is, as the negative, negative, I'm using air quotes here, as those start to come up, we are able to just recognize it as just information. And the more that we do that, kind of the more layers of the onion that we can start to unpack and, you know, peel back and start to see, okay, this isn't, you know, there's nothing wrong with me. I'm not broken, you know, and you're not broken. We don't need to be fixed. We just need to choose, okay, I recognize that, you know, these feelings are coming up from a place of, you know, what I, you know, these beliefs that I have about myself, for example, you know, feeling a belief that I'm not worthy is a really common belief. A belief that I'm not capable is another really common belief. One for me personally that's kind of at the core is a belief that I don't belong. And so when I'm in my victim responding to that, I start to see it, and then I can start to recognize the behaviors that I'm doing that take me more off course and just cause me to kind of repeat this egoic drama that I do. But the more that I'm able to just observe it is the first thing, just being able to observe it and not beat myself up about it. Then it becomes less scary to look at, and then you're able to catch it more and more in the moment. It just starts to become more of a reflex, the more that you just kind of direct your attention there with that value of self-responsibility.
Yes. Yes, that's good. Well, and you know, it kind of makes me think, as I hear people talk, I often say they're talking their charts. And so, of course, I've got to call up your chart and go, okay, what do I see as he's speaking, you know, and what am I thinking? Well, but I'm certainly thinking about Mars, maybe because I was just talking about it, because it's such a motivation in our lives.
Yeah.
And if you don't mind my, I mean, I am looking at your chart, and there's just a couple things that automatically kind of hit me, and your Mars sits in Taurus. And so several things that you said, it's like Taurus is a grounded sign. It's ruled by Venus. And mm-hmm. so it's very much about what's valuable, what's important, you know, how am I going to attract what I want? But sitting in Taurus, it is that very, I'm going to take my time. I'm going to be patient about this. And several things that you said just seemed like, and by the way, in contrast, my Mars is in fire. And that's probably why I said I'm all of a sudden going, ah! You know, I'm just ready to explode, or I'm just like, okay, somebody hit that hot spot for me. Now I can go home and I can think about it. But in the moment, being able to control that Mars is very difficult. But your Mars is sitting in Taurus, and just taking that very methodical, patient, structured approach to something. Like, how am I really going to get what I want? Like, I can't tell you how many times somebody, in some ways, if I lose it, somebody will say, well, you know, how did you think that was going to get you to the goal? You know,
Yeah.
and it's sort of like, well, I wasn't thinking in the moment, you know,
Right. Yeah.
and that wasn't the point. But see, a person with Mars and Taurus is much more like, well, was that part of the plan? And how were you going to work that together? So
Yeah.
I just wanted to throw that out, but also, and I know I'm turning the conversation in a slightly different direction, but I also, because I opened your chart, I'm just, as an astrologer, almost can't help myself. I saw your Mars is really interesting to me personally
Yeah,
because,
tell me, because
okay.
I only know, I'm not an astrologist. I kind of know just enough to be dangerous with it, but it's so fascinating to me. So what do you see in there?
All right, well, this is what I noticed. Your Mars sitting in Taurus is sitting in what we call an inconjunct aspect. That means its relationship with Neptune, which I consider the planet of spirituality, the planet of
Okay.
metaphysics, the planet of understanding that the world operates on a different level than just the material. And when planets are in inconjunct, and there again, I'm interested because I have multiple inconjuncts in my chart, they to me are one of the most difficult aspects around. But why it's fascinating is because your Mars, what motivates you, is what I would call in service to Neptune. When planets are in inconjunct like that, especially the larger one, or not the larger, but the maybe more influential one, being Neptune, is literally, I'm not going to say controlling your Mars, but your Mars cannot operate outside of the influence of Neptune. And you just, came on to One to Listen. That's why it's interesting to me, for one thing, because you're now harnessing, it's like, where's your life going? What's motivating you? And you are interested in using your metaphysical, your psychic, your other than material, in a sense, assets. And you're going to harness those for your career and for the world in general. And why this is particularly happening at this time, I think, is because Jupiter and Uranus, very influential planets. Jupiter's a planet of benefit and expansion. Uranus is unusual things, breaking through limits. Both of those planets have been sitting on your Mars
Wow. And
in a, by
Mars is kind
transit.
of the egoic side. Is that what I was catching?
Okay, ask me that again. Say that again.
What is Mars? What is the Mars influence? Mars represent?
Mars is
Oh,
actually
action.
what?
Okay. Yeah.
What motivates me? What inspires me? Yeah, if you look at somebody's Mars in their chart, it's sort of like, how are you going to motivate? Like, if you wanted to motivate somebody, Mark Husson sometimes says, if you want to manipulate them, he kind of jokingly says that. But it's
Right.
like, if you want to inspire somebody, you want to motivate them, you want to get them to act, you look at their Mars. And so yours, like I said, is in Earth. So it's a slow, patient, how does this work into the plan? But right now, Uranus and Jupiter, in fact, not just right now, but like let's say over this past year, they've been motivating your Mars. And so
Cool.
that whole aspect with Neptune has been activated. So I think what I'm trying to tell you is that this is a very important pivotal moment in your life this year.
Yeah.
And I think especially having to do with career. And so it's going to be fascinating to see how this all works out with One to Listen, because I think this is really an opening in your life that you have not seen before. I mean, and when I say that, I mean like, something that only happens maybe once every 80, 90 years.
Wow.
So this is, yeah, that, and I'm keying off of Uranus, because Uranus only comes around and hits a certain point in the chart every 84 years, and it is sitting on that Mars. So that's an important aspect all by itself. But the very fact that then it's keying into your Neptune at the same time, I just think you're bringing extraordinary metaphysical, psychic, spiritual, however you want to see that non-material world, you're bringing that all to bear with your Mars. You're bringing it to
How
life.
cool.
It's
Yeah.
inspiring you. It's your reason for living, so to speak. But also for you personally, not only have you had those two planets really activating, but you're going to go through what we call a Mars return. And a Mars return happens every 2.5 years, and that's going to happen like around, I'd say, like the 6th, 7th, 8th of July. And
Okay.
that means that Mars sets a whole new pattern for you. And like I said, it happens every 2.5 years. So that's not as important, maybe, as what we were also talking about. But see, in conjunction with that, when you consider that already Jupiter has been saying, hey, I want a new 12-year pattern here with your Mars. What motivates you? What gets you up in the morning? And Uranus has been saying, and guess what, James? We are literally breaking down all the barriers that you may have been feeling for whatever reason. We're breaking through those to open something up for you. And then along comes a Mars return and says, okay, now or never, James, here we go. So
Oh,
these
awesome.
next few months are going to be, I think, very pivotal, very exciting. And I personally am going to love to hear the stories
Oh,
because
yeah.
this is hot stuff.
That's cool. Yeah, it's exciting. And I'll tell you, it's really affirming for me, this sort of impromptu reading that you've just given me. So first of all, thank you for that. But yeah, it is totally in alignment with the intuitive guidance that I've been getting, which is just to really go all in on living my life, just following my intuition, despite the fact that you get guidance and it doesn't make sense, but you just choose to do it anyway. And what I see, what happens is things just start to unfold and doors just open, and it's like, okay, I guess we're going this way. But yeah, especially following the path of the metaphysical and the non-physical, so to speak. I liked how you put that. I've always been drawn to the magical side of life. And I've shared with you a little bit. A lot of that influence comes from my mom. I had an amazing woman for a mom who always kept magic alive in our childhood. And it's a tough thing to it's a tough thing to be kind of put out into the world. It's not something that we're in a place where people love to see that on your resume, for example. So that's another reason why I'm so glad to have found the one to listen. I'm calling the one to listen nation here. I feel like I've really found my tribe.
Oh,
So
that's
that's sort of.
wonderful. And see, that's exactly what it feels like to me. It's like this is no mistake that this is the timing.
Right,
Now, that being said, pressure-wise, I don't want to make you feel like, oh my gosh, this is your only opportunity, and you've got to do this. But, it's kind of what you were talking about. For a lot of people, I think their whole lives, in a sense, they believe in magic, or they believe there's got to be something else out there. There's just got to be more meaning to life than what we see. And they feel it, they know it, they keep looking for it, just like you. I mean, you've explored a lot of things. You get into the yoga, you get into the Reiki, you get into the neuro-linguistic programming, you get into, the life coaching, all these things. But then you find this opening where you see all those things kind of coming together. But I think for you in particular, it is as if, even as a kid, that Mars, what motivates you, you can never really do it outside of Neptune, which is the spiritual, or outside of the metaphysical, because it's never going to satisfy unless it has that component. That's what it feels like to me when you have that Mars tied to Neptune. It's like nothing else is ever going to
That
satisfy.
totally resonates. Yeah, that totally resonates. Yeah.
And now that it's really opening up, it's also bringing it to career in a way, like for instance, I often think about this because I'll be in a conversation with people and, I want to go in a direction maybe that's spiritual or metaphysical, but their eyes just start glazing over. And but I also want to say that that's it. It's not fair to them because it's almost like starting to speak another language that they don't understand. And
Yeah,
that's
I
not
agree.
fair. that's not fair for me to, you know, use words that have to do with astrology or have to do with metaphysics or spirituality that I know that they don't, that's not what they study. That's not what they're into. But I feel like with you, you're finding a way now to weave all these things together, and that there again, you're just not going to be satisfied if you can't be using all of that together to affect change, not only in your life, but in other people's lives too. And also what's fascinating
is— Have you been reading my journals?
No, but I've got this chart sitting in front of me. As you can tell, I'm kind of obsessed with astrology.
Yeah.
But the other timing that I think is so great, and I want to tell, you know, our clients is too, the people that are listening, if you want a reading from James, because Jupiter is going to move into Gemini, of course, this year, this spring. Mm-hmm. And it'll stay there for a year. Well, Gemini is the sign of speaking and talking and you know, communication of all sorts. Well, and by the way, James is another advisor now that we've got that was born on the 12th of the month,
mm-hmm.
right? But in any case, that Jupiter is going to hit your sun, and the sun is ego. And so once again, that's another 12-year cycle that's opening up for you, in which communication is going to be huge.
Oh.
You know, it's yeah. Like, and this has not happened for 12 years. So you might also want to look back and say, hey, what was I doing career-wise, or what was I doing personally?
I was just thinking 12 that 12 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, this is so spot on, CA. And you know, the especially the part about communicating and you know, so much of the guidance I have is just about, look, man, you've been, you know, waist deep in studying and meditating and researching and really doing the inner work for, you know, really close to almost, well, at least 20 years, you know, and
oh, yeah.
I've done a lot of, you know, guiding people along the way, but you know, I'm at this place where it's like, you know, some people, you know, they have their job, and there's nothing wrong with this at all. What some people works for some people is that they have their job that then supports what they want to do outside of that. I used to be a professional musician, and I met, you know, I would meet guy. I remember when I was, you know, early on at a jazz jam session, and I met this. I was on my way to music college, and I met this guy who was a doctor. He was a jazz drummer. He's like, man, don't go to music school. He's like, I'm a doctor, and now I get to play jazz drums, you know, when I want to. I said, well, that uh-huh. worked for him. And I've kind of followed, you know, I went into sales and had a good career there, but it just wasn't for me. What I want to do with my life has to also be, you know, how I'm earning my living. It just had to converge, and I'm at that place, you know. So
right, you
things are really starting to be clear, and now that I've just you mentioned commitment at the very beginning, and that is something that for me, I've really just committed myself to it, and now I see things starting to unfold, and so the opportunities to get to, you know, talk to you and be on the show here. All feels very synchronistic.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think that, and it'll be interesting because that Saturn is somewhat square. That Saturn Venus is somewhat square your Neptune. So that to me also says, yeah, this is a crucial, I keep using the word pivotal, but it's a crucial point of making a commitment. And, you know, because squares mean there's an adjustment or a change. I am going to choose this. I am going to go in this direction. So mm-hmm. it's very exciting. And I wish I'd looked at this before, you know, if we were considering whether to hire you, right? I'm going, yeah, right, look at this. Yeah. We got some great stuff going on. And also kind of going back to the services that you offer, James and I have been talking about the possibility. He loves to coach people, you know, and he loves to do kind of sequential things. And so we were talking about the possibility of his setting up a number of TBSs where people could, you know, literally, you know, have either weekly sessions or sessions more often than that, or maybe something on 1-2 Academy where you could build mm-hmm. on, you know, doing some true coaching for people that are out there trying to achieve something in their life. So it's not, just a hit or miss, hey, what do you want to tell me today? It's more like, hey, we're going to really sit down and we're going to work through this together. So look for James doing some TBSs on One to Listen, which of course are those time-based sessions, and maybe some email-based sessions, or maybe some, you know, you can do some private tutoring and classes on One to Academy.
Yeah, I think I love all those that.
Things would be so exciting.
Yeah, thank you for mentioning that, because I've got two TBSs up now, and I may add more. You know, one of the things that I love when I was first introduced to the platform here is how much depth there is and how much opportunity there is for, you know, the user to come on and you know, just be served in all these different ways. So with One Two Radio and One Two Academy, there's just a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. So I haven't, in the email based sessions, I haven't you know, posted one of those yet, but that'll definitely be something that's coming. So I love the complexity of it, because the opportunity that it offers to be able to connect with people, but I'm still kind of easing my way into learning all of it. So yeah, keep an eye out and look for more, and you know, I'll make sure to inform Mark so that, you know, any important updates can go out in the newsletter there. But I just wanted to circle back quickly to one thing
that you said about
communicating and kind of you know, sharing about this work and how exciting it is. I think we're really living in exciting times right now. Obviously, you know, there's some really dark things going on in the world. But on the other hand, people are really being called, and I think a lot of people really are answering the call to start looking beyond just the ordinary, and even what you know, what I see of what's unfolding on the side of people that study physics and quantum physics and all of that. We're looking into our own history now and finding that, you know, what we thought we knew of human history, what we thought we were sure it was, maybe it was different, and maybe some of the timelines were different, and capabilities and technologies of our ancient ancestors, you know, is just so exciting. What's coming out of that. So, you know, the conversation is happening, and I'm excited to, you know, continue learning as I go, and to continue engaging with people that are also interested in, you know, learning more about, really, to me, is what are we capable of? You know, what can we do with the time that we've been given to live our lives?
Mm-hmm. Well, and there again, you are of a generation that has Neptune sitting in Sagittarius, and those are spiritual seekers. You know, just like what you're talking about, looking at your ancestors, but just looking at, what does this all mean? What are these patterns? And can we change these patterns? And just continually never, I use that term again, not being satisfied. And what I mean by that is always saying, there is something else. I'm going to keep looking until I find it. I'm going to keep looking. I'm not going to be satisfied with just saying, oh yeah, the world's pretty messed up. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm going to look for those patterns. I'm going to look for those spiritual tools or those ways of dealing with everyday life, you know, those immediate upsets, but with bigger things as well. And like I said, you're part of a whole generation doing that, you know, with Neptune and Sagittarius, cool. You know, being those spiritual seekers, and also knowing that has to be part of your life. It can't just be something that you do on Sunday or Saturday.
Yeah,
or exactly. When you go to a meditation group.
Yeah, exactly. So when you say it's part of a generation, is that, you know, because I'm the oldest of four, and I have two younger brothers and my sister is the baby. Are they part of the same generation? Because I don't know if they're all oriented the same way that I am.
Well,
despite the fact that we all, you know, my mom had us, you know, I did my first fire walk when I was 12, you know, and my siblings were even younger. So they've been exposed to a lot of the same things that I have.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't have the same, you know, the same calling, you know, in terms of being a spiritual seeker.
Yes. Well, and when I say generation, when I talk about Neptune in particular, it spends about 14 years in a sign. So that's why I call it a generation, about 14 years of people. So it depends on where your siblings were, how close they were to you in age. Now, your Neptune is at 20 degrees, which means it was already two-thirds of the way through. So if you have siblings that were born within a few years, then yes, they probably have Neptune in Sagittarius. But if it was too much longer than that, they've got Neptune sitting in Capricorn. But here's one other thing I'm going to circle back to you.
Okay.
You, like when you said, even if they have Neptune in Sagittarius, so there is that sense of being part of a generation of being spiritual seekers, you've got it tied to your Mars. So once again, that personal planet, right, Mars says, I can't motivate without this. You know, no matter what you tell me or you keep trying to turn my attention somewhere, I can't. I mean, Mars can't let go of Neptune.
That makes a lot of sense. Just,
you know, that's what happens, especially with an inconjunct. I can't let go of it. You know, it's like it's too big of an influence or a force. I'm just convinced that if I don't have some kind of metaphysical infrastructure, then this just is meaningless to me.
Mm-hmm.
And so your siblings might have Neptune in Sagittarius, but they got Mars all over the place. And I mean, so they're like, sure, we don't even know what you're talking about, James.
Yeah, I get it.
You know, what do you mean this has to be spiritual? What do you mean that, you know, this has to have metaphysical meanings or that there's got to be something else going on?
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, you know, I mean, and you know what I'm talking about. You talk to people and sometimes, I mean, I remember speaking to somebody one time and I was taking a cooking class of all things, and it was a great cooking class, but she kept making these comments about how the body is everything. And there's nothing more important than the body. And I remember sitting there going, I can't relate. And of course I thought it was important. I love to cook, you know, and I love to do good things for the body, but I could tell, you know, to her, that's all she wanted to focus on. It was paramount, you know, and not letting the body age, you know, doing everything you could. And of course I'm kind of sitting there going, well, good luck with that.
Yeah.
Because so far I haven't seen anybody get off this planet, you know, alive, you know, you know what I mean. And I mean, I think that's fine. Of course I do, you know, good things, but I could tell I was, you know, and of course we didn't, I mean, we interacted in the class, but we didn't become friends.
Sure.
And I think that's why, because if I'd started talking metaphysics, she would have gone, oh my God.
Yeah, she might not have been able to relate to that.
Yeah, she wanted to talk about marathons and, you know, all these kind of extreme physical things.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, anyway, she just all of a sudden popped into my mind. So I hope she's still running those marathons and doing well.
Yeah, well, you know, there's no wrong way to go. You know, I think if you really, you know, we're all brought here. This is my belief, but we're all brought here with a purpose and with a certain unique set of gifts and talents and skills to bring to the world. And that's what I call our genius. And so we all have our own genius. And, you know, for some people it's athletics, and for some people it's business, and for some people it's, you know, family and homemaking, and for some people art or whatever. So you know, there's no wrong way to get there.
That's right. That's absolutely right. Which is, I think, one of the reasons I love astrology, because it shows how we are all so different, but all the same. So I'm looking at the clock though, James, and I can't believe we've already spent
just
like
flying,
50 minutes.
Flown by.
Yeah. It's just flown by. And I know there's so many more things for you to talk about. And so I'd like to ask you about where people can find you, but also I know that you're going to be on Jay Barbell's show. So
yeah,
you want to
Jay
tell
Raven,
when you're going to do that, and then you can kind of pick up the conversation and talk more about, you know, some of the things that you guys have decided you'll talk about. So we've got a couple minutes to end the show. So tell us about that.
Yeah. So, we've got, I'll be on with Jay and Raven on Thursday at the same time. Looking forward to that for sure. And in terms of where to find me, the best place is to just go, you know, going through One to Listen, James B. You find my profile and you can read a little bit more about me there. And then I have, like I said, a couple time-based sessions. So in terms of, I'm still kind of migrating my calendar as much as I can, more and more, so that I can be on standby and ready to take just what I'll just call walk-ins for people to just call in. Right now, it's not a really regular time blocked out. So if you want to connect, send me a message or send a call request would be a great way to do it. And you can find me on social media too. I haven't been super active in my posting there, but the first place would be One to Listen. And I think I think you can just send me a message through there, right, CA?
Mm-hmm, absolutely. Go to clickforadvisor12listen.com, find James, send him a message. You can ask for a scheduled call or even just a call back, meaning, hey, I'm going to be available the next hour or two. Are you available? And so you can send those kind of requests as well.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah, that's perfect. So that's it. And then as, you know, as time goes by, I think I'll be able to be on more and more. But as I said, right, I'm fully, you know, committed to putting myself out there to serve in the best way that I can.
Okay. Well, James, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Yeah. Hey, CA, thanks so much for having me on. It's been great getting to know you, and I'm loving getting to know the other advisors, and to become part of this community is really a special thing for me. So thanks to you, and then thanks to everybody that's listening, and I look forward to seeing more of all of us.
Yes. Well, and I look forward to seeing how this is all going to develop for you. It'll be exciting.
It is already exciting. So it's already exceeding anything that I had in my vision. So pretty awesome.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you. And everybody, we are getting close to the end of the show, but I do want to shout out to Alashea, who said, can't wait to hear and learn more about the eclipses. Now, one of those eclipses is going to be a full moon lunar eclipse that's going to happen on Monday, the 25th of March. And I recognize we don't talk again until Tuesday morning. So that one will already be over by then. But this is what I'd say. I'm not going to say it's not going to be as important, because it is. But I lean in a little bit more to the new moon solar eclipses. And the reason is because they're new energy. It's a new cycle starting. So when you look at this full moon eclipse that is going to be on the 25th, that's next Monday, think of that. Those full moons are when things come to culmination. And in this case, it's going to be in Libra. And so some of the things you might be thinking about is, do I need to release something around relationships? Do I need to change something? What has come to fruition in my life that I am ready to either totally enjoy or to release or to move on from? Because that's what we're doing on a full moon and a lunar eclipse when we go, okay, emotionally, maybe I'm done with this. It could be a relationship. It could be something in your life that what we're seeking is to create more balance because it's sitting in Libra. So that's just a little information about the lunar eclipse. But next week, we will talk about the solar eclipse, which will be 2 weeks out. That'll be in April. Okay, so Alashea, thank you for the question or for the comment. And Jay, I am going to close out the show. So don't get nervous. Thanks for joining me today, everybody, to James, and also to all the listeners and everybody in the chat room, and to Jay Barvell, who is our producer. But I want to encourage you to stay tuned for Empowerment with Kelly Whetstone, because coming up next, this is our monthly Meeting the Minds. So I will be with Kelly. We often answer questions in the chat room. I don't know exactly what Kelly has planned for today, so no promises, but we're going to be together. So this is CA signing out. You have been listening to Everyday Astrology with my guest, James B. from 12listen.com. And you're listening to 12 Radio, where we're changing the way that we listen to the world.